The death of Jesus, I would imagine at the time when it took place, seemed like the ultimate failure. I think of all those that were there on the scene. I think especially as those that had believed in Jesus and some of them who had walked with him for 3 years. And how they had such high hopes, seeing the miraculous hand of Jesus and all that he had done and the miracles of healing that he performed, the feeding of the multitudes, the driving out of demons. And then the relational side of Jesus and his wisdom and his teaching. As many of them, a great multitude, it says, was gathered in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus spoke the words that have become called the Sermon on the Mount. I was just reading part of the Sermon on the Mount, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I read a verse, and I just kind of stopped, and I thought, this is amazing. Only God himself has such wisdom as we read in the words of Jesus. Some of the things that Jesus says just absolutely sweeps us off our feet. Imagine what it was like for in the first century for the disciples of Jesus and for those that were watching him in person and listening to him and seeing how he handled situations, how he handled the Pharisees, how he handled trusting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think of how they watched and hoped, and then they even heard the words of Jesus and they were confused by them because Jesus began to talk about death and that he was going to leave them, but he also talked about coming back. How confused they all were. And then I think of the mother of Jesus, Mary, and how Mary was there from the very opening of the New Testament and the promise of God and the amazing miracle that she would have give birth to a child, the Son of God, and how her hopes and dreams over those 31, 32 years had been that somehow uniquely Jesus was going to be the Savior of the world, and yet I don't think Mary had any idea possibly that Jesus was going to go to the cross. And so on that first Good Friday night, when Jesus hung on the cross and his life ebbed out of him, can you imagine how the cross seemed to them to be such an utter failure? Sometimes when we read parts of a story, that's how we see it. And for anyone that would read the gospel in Mark, for example, up to the point that Pastor Shane read a few minutes ago, and if they stopped there, they would have missed completely the power of Jesus dying on the cross. The death of Jesus is an amazing event that seemed like the very end. But I want to say to us all today, the death of Jesus was not the end. I also am thinking about the situation that our world is in and how it seems so out of control and that we don't know what's going to happen and we wonder what the news is going to be tomorrow. There are probably times in our lives when we might feel like we're facing circumstances and we're facing a darkness that there really is no hope. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the future. I was thinking about Good Friday tonight and thinking about the parallel with what's going on in our world and the unknowns. And in some ways, we're a little bit like those disciples were when they watched Jesus hang on the cross. It's not the same exactly, but there's some similarities. All of us at times wonder what's going to happen and how God's going to work, and when and where and how are we going to hear the voice of God in the midst of this virus? Well, I'm praying that we are going to hear God's voice, and somewhere in his truth, and in these mighty stories of Jesus going to the cross, that we're going to hear God say to us, I was there. I knew what was going on. I knew that there was going to be an arrest and a trial, and they were going to beat my son. And they were going to put a crown of thorns on his head. And he was going to be sent to the crucifixion. Sent to the cross. God was there the whole time. And then they couldn't have seen that or understood that. And even today, I think that God is here in our situation, in our community, and in the communities around our country where more and more people are suffering. God is there. God is watching. God hears the heartbeat of every person, and He knows what's going on. I think they probably had trouble way back there understanding the purpose that God had when Jesus went to the cross. But I want to say tonight that God was never outside of control of what was happening when Jesus went to the cross. I'm thinking tonight about all the things about the cross that are important to us, and there are many. I want to mention five of them tonight. The meaning of the cross. What does a cross mean to you and I? The first thing that I think of about the meaning of the cross is this. The cross shows us the devastation of sin. Just the ugliness of the cross itself and the anguish. And you've heard it described, I'm sure, many times about how the crucifixion took place. And we have bits and pieces and pictures from the Bible, the four Gospels, about the horror of the cross, the physical suffering that took place. The cross is a sign of the devastation of what sin is and how horrible and destructive sin is. How horrible and destructive sin is to a holy God. A God who is without sin. I mean, a God who has somehow been there before eternity. He has always been, the Bible says, one of the greatest mysteries, one of the greatest mysteries to me of the Bible is to understand the eternal nature of God past. It's one thing to think about eternity going forward, and that's a different question to me. But thinking of the eternal existence of God past, think about that. He has been forever and ever and ever in the past. No beginning. Somehow that is just hard for any of us. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around what that means. But somehow that God, who is eternal past, when Jesus went to the cross, He was dealing with the devastation of sin. An infinite holy God, and Jesus goes to the cross. Who is Jesus? He is God's Son. He is God Himself. God Himself is dealing with the devastation of sin on the cross. To the creation, to our relationship with God, to our lives, God sees the cross, and He sees the awfulness of sin, the dreadfulness of sin that His Son took to the cross. At the same time as the cross shows us the devastation of sin, it also shows us the incredible nature of the love of God. You think of what the cross shows us about God. It shows us an incredible view, an incredible understanding of what perfect love is. Unselfish love, undeserved love. The cross shows us the amazing love of God. I think of that song, Amazing Love. How can it be that my God has died for me? It might be one thing to think about God dying on the cross for all the people of the world. That's one thing to think about. But that God died for me. That God died for you. That you were in the mind of God when Jesus hung on the cross. That's an incredible thought to me. You think about who God is. He's perfect. He cannot tolerate sin. He's eternal past. And yet He has so much love that He sent Jesus, the Bible said, to die for you and for me. Every one of us. Tonight we celebrate that God is so big. God is so amazing. And yet He is able to know us by name. And tonight, He knows every person listening, every person watching, every person that may listen later. He knows people all around the world that are celebrating Good Friday. He knows people who are not and have doubts about God and maybe even be in the place where they're wondering if God exists. God knows who they are, and God is able to speak to them, and I pray that they will sense His Spirit as His presence tonight. God's amazing love. The third thing that comes to my mind about the power and the wonder of the power of the cross is the power of forgiveness. And how precious forgiveness is. How precious forgiveness is. Probably all of you, I know all of you, have had things in your life that you've needed to forgive and you've needed to be forgiven for. There is great power in forgiveness. And to think that this eternal, infinite God can forgive mortal man made in His image for his sins is incredible. The power of forgiveness. The power of letting go the punishment that we deserve. That somehow God was willing and able to let that punishment land on Jesus. As I said before from Isaiah, that beautiful passage. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I'm thankful tonight for the power of forgiveness. I'm thankful that God has offered that to me. I'm thankful that God has offered that to every name I see on the screen and people that are here a lot of times on Good Friday night and others that are out there and listening, that God has offered you forgiveness. I want you to know tonight that there is nothing that can cleanse your life from the sin in your life except the power of God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ on the cross. That is powerful. There's no amount of doing good works. There's no amount of giving money. There's no amount of trying to make up for what you've done wrong that can cover your sin from a holy and infinite God. There's only one thing that can take that sin away, and that is to believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died, the Lamb of God, for your sin. There is great power in the forgiveness of God. I hope tonight that you'll sense that and you'll be grateful for that and you'll feel that in your heart and your spirit. The cross is also an invitation to relationship. And I'm reminded tonight that God didn't save us to leave us sitting by the side of the road alone. He saved us because He wanted to be reconciled to us. That word reconcile is a very important word in the New Testament. The book of Romans, for example. God wants to reconcile us to Him. Think about what that means, that this holy, infinite, eternal past God wants to be reconciled to me? How can I be important to God? But yet we're told throughout the Bible that we're important to God. You are important to God. You might think, oh man, I'm not even important to my neighbor. I hope you are, but I know you're important to God. And it's incredible how important you are to Him. He wants a relationship with you. I mean, it's important to God. Somehow He has allowed His nature to condescend to come down to us and say, I want to be with you. I want you to know me. I want to know you. It's like God is saying He's made us in His own image, but He's made us as individuals, and He's created us with all this personality, individuality. And He says, I made 8 billion different people in 2020, and I care about every one of them. This infinite God can do that. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to put something in your heart, in your spirit, in your life that gives you strength and gives you hope and gives you purpose and gives you meaning for your life. Only God can give us the spiritual meaning that we need in life. There are a lot of things that we can spend our time on. There's a lot of projects that we can work on. There's a lot of things that we can buy, but there's nothing that can meet the need of the human heart to be connected to the eternal than to know who God is. I'm thankful tonight that God wants a relationship with you and me. God's told us that all throughout the Bible. He cares about people. He loves people. our district pastor, our superintendent, Kerry Willis, was here back in June, and in one of his sermons, he talked about that. I think he used this phrase. He had a lot of quotes and things that were great, but he said, God is crazy about you. You know, I've heard that before, and I just kind of, yeah, that's true, you know. But I don't know, when he said that in June, it got my attention for some reason. God is really crazy about you. And it's really true. God is God about you. Crazy is probably not the right word, but God is God about you. He cares about you. His heart is touched with our grief. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Does Jesus care when we sin? Oh, yes, he cares. His heart is broken. Does Jesus care when we lose people that are close to us? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. See, he's the God of eternity. He's the God that knows every day of our lives that come to be, and he knows how long we have and those that are left behind. I want to say to those that are grieving tonight that God cares about you, and I pray that you'll feel that and sense that. And then finally tonight, I want to say one more thing about the power of the cross and the meaning of the cross, and that is that God gives us a great promise of heaven through the cross. I want to say tonight that I'm so thankful that God had a plan for the cross, and that is that we would have eternal life in him. God cares deeply about our lives right now and the challenges we have, and he cares deeply about all of eternity. I don't know which to say God cares about most. I don't think there's a way that we can really understand that, whether God cares about this life or eternity more. He cares about both. It's incredible that he gives us life. It's incredible that he speaks to us in life. It's incredible that God says to us that Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Don't ever think that God doesn't care about your life now. And he does, but he also cares about all of eternity. Forever and ever and ever. And God gives us a great promise. I'm so thankful tonight that we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to beg to know what God says about eternity. But he's made a promise to every one of us who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not because of our works or our efforts. It's really not much about us at all. But God makes a promise. He who believeth in me hath everlasting life. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I called Charlotte a while back today and asked her if I could talk about Gerald for a couple of minutes tonight. Those of you know, and I mentioned earlier, and you've probably heard, Gerald passed away a couple of days ago. Gerald has been coming to this church, I don't know how many years, 10, 12, I just don't keep track of that. But I remember when I first met Gerald, and Gerald talked to me very early on, and thankful for those Eichenlaub kids that invited Gerald to church. And I think, if I understand, they invited him over and over and over again, and finally he came. I don't know about all that, but I'm pretty sure I remember that in the story. Gerald was one of those guys that hasn't been to church until then for a long time. He'd been hurt. Many of us are hurt over time by sometimes things related to church, sometimes related to things completely. But Gerald was one of those guys that had not been to church in a long time until he connected. And he started coming to this church in the back, as I'm looking at here on the right side. And all of us had got to know Gerald, got to learn about his personality and who he was. Gerald was outspoken. When he didn't like something, he would usually say it. He would tell you what he thought, especially if you asked him, and maybe even if you didn't sometime. But one of the things I loved about Gerald is he tried to wrestle with his faith for all the time that I knew him and understand who God was. Gerald had trouble accepting that God forgave him. Quite frankly, some of you have talked to Gerald over the years, and you know that Gerald would would kind of say at times, I just don't know that I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know that God forgives me. And Gerald wrestled with the whole idea of God's forgiveness. Gerald had things in his past, like we all do, but Gerald had trouble letting go of them and believing that God had forgiven him for that. But I just want to say today how thankful I am that God cleanses us from everything in our past when we confess our sins to Him. And Gerald today, I believe, is celebrating the wonder of the reason for the cross. And today there's no more struggle physically, there's no more struggle emotionally, there's no reason for us to feel bad that Gerald, other than he's gone. We're thankful today that God has forgiven and cleansed us from all our sins, and we celebrate that. The cross is powerful. The cross is powerful. And I'm thankful tonight for the hope that we have in Jesus. I'm thankful tonight for the hope that we have in the forgiveness of God and life that He promises in Jesus' name. I hope tonight that your faith will be strong. I know that this is a different Good Friday than we've ever had before, but I pray that something inside of you will just sense the Spirit of God clicking on you and speaking to you and saying to you, my child, I'm with you. I'm with you for all of eternity, and I'm with you right now. I'm with you during these days, and you'll find strength and help for that. I'm thankful, so thankful tonight for the meaning of the cross and the power of the cross that He has for us. I want to invite you to sing with us. Our ladies are going to lead us again in a great hymn of the church. And I bet you'll recognize and know most of it. It's in our hymn book. Some of you might even have a hymn book at home. It's number 240. The song is In the Cross. And I just want to invite you to worship as we sing, as you hear these incredible words. I chose this song because it is just an incredible telling of what the cross means. And I hope that you'll hear that tonight and join us as we worship and our ladies lead us in singing this great song, In the Cross. And then Pastor Shane is going to lead us in a closing prayer. Stream flows.
Gracious, loving God, we thank you and praise you for this day, this Good Friday, Lord God. And I sometimes wonder if this Good Friday is just a little different than looking back at all the other Good Fridays in hindsight, Lord God, as your people gather around the globe in maybe a different way for a Good Friday service this year, Lord. But we do know and we do acknowledge that wherever we are, Lord God, that you are with us. Your Holy Spirit dwells within us, Lord God, and I just thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. And I'm myself personally greatly indebted to the cross. And Lord God, I just thank you and I praise you for allowing your Son to come to bear my sin. God, I just thank you for who you are in my life and all the things that you've done in my life, Lord God. You're an awesome and mighty and powerful God, Lord, and just thank you and praise you. Lord God, as we go into this weekend and as we know we can look forward to Easter Sunday, be with each and every one of us, Lord God. I love you, we praise you, and pray this in your Son's name. His name is Jesus. Amen.